Good morning and welcome to our Sunday service. For those I haven't met yet, my name is Pam and I'm the minister at 57 West. We are a church plant among rough sleepers and vulnerably housed adults in Southend. In church terms, we're a baby. We just turned 7 years in January this year, but because of the lockdown restrictions, we haven't been able to celebrate our church anniversary as we normally would. So that is one of the many things that we are looking forward to post-lockdown. I'm really excited to be able to share with you this morning, and it's great that we found ways to be together despite not being able to physically share the same space. And as we gather together today to worship and pray, we realise that not only are we blessed to be able to connect with each other, but that God is among us also. So I invite you to join in worship as we shift our focus towards who God is. Let's sing together, Above All Powers. As we meet together on this first Sunday of Lent, I'm sure there will be plenty among us who have been thinking about what you might be giving up this season, especially as we reflect on Christ's fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. This year, it feels doubly hard, I'll admit, because we've been forced to give up so much already. And the Lent themes of waiting and reflection and sacrifice are ones that we know all too well by now. And perhaps for us, that means we approach Lent with a slightly different attitude to last year or even the year before. For me, instead of feeling excited when people ask me what I might give up this year, like I usually am, my initial reaction is, do I really have to give up something else? The things of real value to me, being able to see family and friends especially, are already absent. And the idea of having a few less cakes or biscuits this year, while perhaps helpful to me after 11 months indoors, feels insignificant compared to the year of isolation and poverty that we've experienced, or perhaps people we know have experienced. For those of us who've already lost so much due to COVID and lockdown, giving up even more at the moment feels like a really tough ask. That said, I'm thankful that Jesus' reaction to sacrifice is very different to mine. When we read the stories about Jesus' life and ministry, starting today with his temptation and ending ultimately at the cross as Easter draws near, nowhere will we read Jesus' voice, my complaint. Of course, we can't compare human sacrifice to what God has done, and we can't compare COVID to the cross. But I'm still glad that Jesus' response to sacrifice isn't, do I really have to give up something else? And instead is, your will be done. As we continue to think about what God has done for us, we're going to sing Amazing Grace together. Marika is going to share with us now our reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Temptation is the theme of this reading, and it's a really common reading for this time in the church calendar, and for good reason, because we stumble across temptation every single day. Just last week, I had three of my nephews staying with me. It was supposed to be a weekend break for them, but we got snowed in, and they ended up with me for the best part of a week. And as part of my attempt to motivate them to do their schoolwork, when we went food shopping, I promised them that they could all choose a sweet to have after their dinner. Now you can guess what's coming next. First, I asked them to put their chocolate in the trolley, but they all wanted to hold on to it. I was very clear that you can hold on to your sweets, but we're not opening anything until after dinner. Next, we arrive at the checkout and I ask them to put the sweets in the bag after they were scanned. Immediately, all the sweets are stuffed into pockets and I repeat, "You can hold on to your sweets, but we're not opening anything until after dinner." We get home, everything's unpacked, food's put away, and the sweets suddenly are nowhere to be seen. And I say to all the children, "Leave them on the kitchen side," and they reject that suggestion again. And I repeat, "Well, you can hold your sweets, but we still aren't opening them until after dinner." With a small, small concession that one sweet could be eaten after a really busy day of homeschooling, the rest of them were finally put away. But every 5 minutes or so, I would watch one of them walk into the kitchen quietly. They didn't say anything, they just crept in just to go and check that their snacks were still there. Temptation is a really tricky thing, even when you're 4 years old, and the only risk is to your teeth. The problem with temptation in this story, or looking at temptation through the lens of a child who just wants an early snack, is that it minimizes the damage it can do. What Jesus faces in the wilderness is something much darker than the things we joke about in the day to day. And we heard from Marika three of the different things that Jesus used to try and sway Jesus, which you can find in Luke 4, as well as in Matthew, which we've just heard. So in both texts, Jesus is asked to create bread out of stones to relieve his own hunger, to leap from the temple and count on angels to break his fall, and to kneel before the tempter in return for all the kingdoms of the world. These temptations are much scarier because, as we're going to explore, they show us that the tempter is looking for opportunities to try and exploit, or vulnerabilities that might be given into a little bit more easily because they prey on the wants or the needs of the person who's being tempted. So let's look then at the first miracle, turning stones into bread. At face value, this seems pretty harmless. After all, we read more than one example later in the Gospels where Jesus feeds crowds of people with only five loaves and two fish. You can read that story in Matthew 14. So we know from this that Jesus can do this miracle. And we also know from the reading we just heard that after 40 days of fasting, Jesus was very hungry, which to me seems like a massive understatement. If Jesus is capable and in need of food, why not just do as he's asked? Well, Jesus tells us in his answer, he refuses the tempter's suggestion by saying that we don't live on bread alone. He doesn't dismiss our physical needs here or rule out the importance of food. Jesus doesn't say we don't need bread, but he is clear it's not the only thing that we need. We do need to be physically sustained, we know that, but we need to be spiritually sustained as well. After his first attempt to entice Jesus fails, the tempter tells him then to jump from the temple and let the angels catch him. Here he's saying, use your powers and show everyone that you can do this miracle. Prove to everyone that you really are from God. And the fame and the power that would have been available to Jesus had he done this would have been limitless. This temptation tries to play on ambition, but Jesus refuses it. And this doesn't fit with how those at the time expected the Messiah to behave. Plenty of people were waiting for someone who would arrive, overthrow the Romans, bring in a new time of wealth and prosperity and success, and perform all sorts of miraculous signs to go along with it. And while we read examples of Jesus' miracles all throughout scripture, John Drane writes about this one. And he says here, Jesus rejected the temptation to base his message on sensationalism. We see later how Jesus is treated when word starts to spread about who he is, and he's ultimately rejected and killed for it. Instead of performing the miracle on demand, Jesus replies, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." He rejects the first and the second instruction from the tempter, even though we know he had the capability to do everything that was being asked of him, and it would have fit with what people expected from him at the time. Instead of going along with public expectation, Jesus chooses obedience. And this decision to be obedient fits much better with the picture we have of Jesus who was born into nothing, the baby born into an ordinary family by society's standards, nothing special according to the world. A baby born away from the miracle and the splendor that the tempter is trying to sway him with here. We see God's character here again as one who is faithful and humble, rather than someone who is happy to accept the immediate fame that is offered here. Finally, Jesus is offered an opportunity to rule, but he has to compromise with the tempter. "Make a deal with me," is the offer, "and I will give you everything." Again, Jesus knew that he was expected to conquer the world, but he came with a different mission, one where God's reign looked very different. So he refuses to kneel, rejects the offer, and instead says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Jesus refuses to split power with the tempter in exchange for leadership. For the third time, he remains obedient to God's plan, choosing not to rule in a worldly sense of the world, and instead remaining exclusively faithful to God. There are two things from this account that I hope can shape how we think about temptation now. The first is that each of the temptations were based on scriptures that had been twisted by the tempter to try and get Jesus to agree. We know that they played into what people at the time expected, and also into Jesus' own physical need. In a manipulation of all three, the tempter tries to push what they think is an opportunity each time. "You're hungry, make some food. You're God's chosen one, do this and prove it. You're bringing in a new kingdom, here's the power then to make it happen." Still, Jesus does not break. Each time, Jesus was uncompromising in his response, turning down the money, the fame, the power, out of a commitment to painful, sacrificial service. I think temptation seems darker and scarier when we consider it through this lens. Instead of being lighthearted and harmless, we see that temptation can push us to stray from God's plan in search of other things, whatever it might be, that we might start to prioritize over God. And I think reading the story in this way brings an awareness of how dangerous temptation can be, and hopefully from that helps us to be prepared for it. I think temptation is less about, "I was tempted by dessert yesterday," and more about, what are the things that are pulling us away from what God wants for us? And those things are going to be very different for each person. So the first thing that we can take away from this is an awareness of the dangers of temptation, but the second one is an assurance. We're often told that Jesus is an example to us on how to behave when we are tempted, and I don't disagree with that. It is important, though, that Jesus' rejection of temptation was the opposite to the way Adam and Eve responded to temptation when they faced it in the Garden of Eden. When the tempter in Genesis 3 twists what God has to say, pulling the same tricks as in Matthew 4, trying to convince them to give in to temptation, Adam and Eve go along with it. But Jesus, in restoring this, stood firm. It is quite likely, at least at times, that our own response to the temptations we face in our own lives will look more like that of Adam and Eve than of Jesus. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try, but I hope that it brings the reassurance that when temptation wins, God doesn't cast us out. Instead, God looks to restore us. And as we move towards Easter, we'll hear more about the lengths that God goes to in order to do just that. It is in the hope and trust and experience of our restoration that we are able to stand in community against temptation, supporting each other to follow God's direction for us, whether that's as an individual or as a faith community. And we're going to think a bit more about being a restored community, celebrating what it is that God has already done for us as we move into a shared time of communion. Let's sing together In Christ Alone. The practice of communion is found in Scripture, so I'm going to first share Jesus' words from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I already passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If you would like to share in communion with us, you'll need to have some bread and wine to hand or an alternative that you're comfortable with. So if you don't yet have those things ready, feel free to take a moment to pause here so that you can prepare. As we share in communion together, we join in with Jesus' example to us and remember the hope that we have in him. All are welcome to share with us, and I'd like to pause here to invite you to this meal. This is the table of the Lord, and we are invited to share this meal together. Following the example of Christ before us and in the hope of what is still to come. Come when you are lonely, to be with others. Come when you are tempted to find rest. Come when you are fearful, to be given strength. Come when you are hopeless, to be met with love. Come those who are sick or healthy, tired or rested, busy or adrift. There is room for all. Amen. Let's share bread and wine together as we give thanks to God in the quiet. Creator God, we thank you that our lives are transformed because of who you are. Thank you that we have a new identity and a new life, and that from your love and care, we are restored to you. Help us to hold fast to your plans for us and to set aside anything that would lead us astray from what you have called us to be and do. Would you throw away anything that might distract us and help us always to follow you? In the moments when it feels difficult for us to hold on to our faith, as we are challenged and tempted and tested, especially with everything that's going on in the world right now, would you remind us that you are always holding on to us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're going to continue our worship singing, "God and Man at Table Are Sat Down." Thank you.
spreads the victory feasts. Who is this who makes our whirring seas? Jesus, risen Savior, Prince of Peace. God and man at table are sat down.
Rose is going to lead us now in some family prayers, and we will sing together afterwards, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
We're now going to meet together for a time of prayer. We've been asked not to say names over this meeting, prayer meeting, so we just ask you to look at your Corona news and find the people who have actually specifically asked for prayer and include them into this time of prayer. Well, we'll leave a short pause in between each item for you to bring these people forward or anybody else that you may know who is in need of prayer or comfort. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are bereaved. Lord, we pray for your hands to be upon their families. Touch each and every individual, Lord, with your love. Bring them comfort in their time of sorrows, hope in their time of distress, and peace in quietness of their heart, Lord, when they really need your love. We pray for the many people who are sick, Lord, not only with coronavirus, but with many other forms of illnesses. Lord, this for cancers, for heart diseases, and for any other illnesses that are going about that are making people ill, Lord. We pray for healing upon these people. Healing that can come from you alone, Lord. Pray your hands will be upon them. Bless them, my Lord, and heal them. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask this. We pray for anybody who is affected by COVID. Lord, it's still very rampant in this country, and I will pray for the people who get it that they will make a very speedy recovery, Lord. And we pray for the vaccination that it will carry on at the rate it's going, Lord, and get everybody vaccinated rapidly so that we can all resume our lives. And we pray for those who are frightened of it, Lord. Pray that they will see there's no fear in having an injection, but that it's for our safety and for the safety of others. Just bring people peace of mind about it all, Lord. Thank you. We pray, Lord, for the various charities at the moment who are suffering from lack of funds, Lord, because no shops opening, no able to do charity events and things, Lord. We just pray that most of them can keep going and somehow they will find finances. That you, Lord, will be within these organisations, bringing them their needs, Lord. We pray for the many countries in the world, particularly places like Yemen, Lord, that have conflict and strife. Lord, in all this pandemic that's been going on around the world, people are still killing each other. People are still starving of hunger. And there's still wants and needs in so many places, Lord. So, Lord, pray for your Holy Spirit to blow through this land. Pray, Lord, that you will really touch the lives of the many people, bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing goods that will help people, medication that will help people, and that peace of heart that comes only for you, Lord. Bring them salvation, we ask, in your holy name, Lord. We pray for our government that you will continue to be with them, Lord, help them to make the wise decisions about COVID and about other things that decisions need to be made, Lord. They help our country to get back on its feet again shortly. And also that we will be a nation that can employ people again, not one where so many are unemployed, particularly young. And we pray for these youngsters, Lord, that you will be with them, that they won't become depressed or upset about the fact that they can't do anything, Lord. Just help them, Lord, to know there is a future ahead. Future is in you. We pray for other governments in the world that they also will have the wisdom to and knowledge to be able to deal with the COVID virus and any other issues that come up in them. Nations. Lord, bring your wisdom on all in this world. Touch the lives of so many, Lord, as only you can. Bring in peace, salvation, and joy in your existence. And heavenly Lord, we ask this all in your holy and wonderful name. Just thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Greatest thy faithfulness, morning by morning. springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, money and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
I'm going to close our service with a final prayer. And if anything from our time together has prompted questions or raised anything that you'd like to talk through a bit more or find out a little bit more about, please do have a conversation with somebody you can trust. Contact somebody from the church leadership team. Temptation is a really difficult theme for us to be thinking and praying about. And as one body in Christ, it is our shared responsibility and joy not only to celebrate the good things that we experience together, but also to carry each other when we're struggling. So please do speak to someone this week if that's going to be helpful. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer, and I invite you to pray this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.